Hello and welcome. In this episode, you will discover how to stand out in your field, how to create unique and unbeatable videos, how to say goodbye to your competition, how to embrace your true self fearlessly. My guest today is Dr. Stefan Zavalin. He is the professional unicorn, and after losing his vision in graduate school, Stefan not only finished his degree, but went on to work in the public, in a clinic, probably in the public, start a business, write a book, and give a TEDx talk. He now empowers entrepreneurs with creative communication in their business, which eliminates their competition. Welcome, Stefan.
Thank you for having me. This is going to be exciting.
Great to have you. We're going to have a great conversation. And today we're talking about actually how to stand out without competition. A great topic. I think a lot of people have a hard time with standing out, and they're just competing out there too much. So this is a conversation and topic that I think will help pretty much everybody. And I think it doesn't hurt to eliminate your competition. So let's dive into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
So Stefan, what is your story?
My story starts a long, long time ago. Not really, but yes, at the same time. I'm going to go all the way back to grad school, kind of mentioned in the bio, this whole idea of losing the vision. In grad school, I did end up losing my vision. I went to grad school for physical therapy. Even though I was all into the arts before that, my parents said, we want something realistic. They were a physicist and an engineer. So
yeah,
yes, something realistic, something with a doctorate.
Yeah, you need a degree.
Yeah, you need a degree. And I still went into the clinic. I finished it, even though I ended up going legally blind. It's all nerve damage because everybody always asks, no, I can't drive. You don't want me to drive. It would be a terrible idea. But it was physical therapy. So a lot of it was hands-on kind of thing. So it worked. But documentation was the bane of my existence because that's visually difficult. It's a lot of text. And so eventually I said, I got to do something on my own. It has to be. And so the first business was really more about reducing how much we're sitting. Is educating that we need to shift our mindset. And the core belief of that, which I think actually applies to many things in business and in our lives, is this idea that it's not about doing more of the good always. It is sometimes far better to do less of the bad. So instead of thinking that we need to go move, exercise more, the idea was we need to figure ways to sit less. Do the same things we do for work, but how do we sit less while doing it? And you can apply this to anything. Instead of saying, how am I going to be more productive? How are you going to waste less time? Because most likely you're not going to squeeze out much more productivity out of those hours you're working, but you may find some inefficiencies in your workflow and fix those, and that might be better. As that kept going, I kept on finding fun and different unique ways of presenting it. I wrote a book, I did a TEDx talk, and I created a show. The show was called Scared Sitless, which I think is a hilarious title. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. It was that show that really had people going, you're doing stuff differently, not from the standpoint of the movement, but from the standpoint of the media that you're showcasing, the way that you're thinking about thoughts and how to communicate it. It was a virtual show. It was fully interactive where people got to choose their own adventure as it went on. I played around with a giant green screen. There was plenty of things flying around. It was fun, to say the least, which is not something you can say about most presentations from businesses nowadays. And the fact that it was that show that had people going, you really like the movement thing is great, Stefan, but I think this is your real gift. And repeatedly I heard that. So I went, okay, fine. Let's see what I can do with this. I took a couple dozen entrepreneurs, some I knew, some I just met on social media, and I said, hey, let me write some content for you. Let's see what happens. Those that actually applied it and used it, 5 to 10 times more views, more likes, more engagement immediately, because it just felt and looked like them and it was interesting and creative. So I thought, great, I'm going to be a social media marketer. And a week later, I said, dear God, I don't want to be a social media marketer. So I thought, what is it that I'm doing? Because I really love the video aspect of it, because I think that showcases the most human side of us possible. And so what it has come down to the final chapter or current chapter of the story, I should say, not final, dear Lord, I'm not done. But taking that human element of business owners and saying, this is good. This is what we need and we need to connect to. How do we show that in a video without pitching a bunch of scripts and doing all of these things? And so that's what the professional unicorn does, is capturing that essence of humanity in the various creative ways that we're going to get into, because it's wildly fun. But that's what I do. I now make videos with business owners, and it is fascinating.
So that's what you're specializing in these days, doing a video with business owners?
Yep. Predominantly coaches, but every now and again, a financial planner will sneak in or somebody else.
Those sneaky bastards. So tell us more about the video work that you do. What does it look like? What type of video do you do? What is it used for and the rest of it?
I do a rather niche, because when I say I do video work, then people are like, oh, can you help me with my YouTube channel? Maybe. Can you make a video for my website? Probably not. The type of work that I do is very much centered for social media. It's vertical format, short clips, 60 to 90 seconds, some under 15 seconds. That's the goal. But I, to a degree, subscribe to the Gary V model, where it's you just got to get content out there, and far more quantity than you realize. Quality does matter, not to say that it doesn't, but most people are really struggling with the quantity. So the question was, how do we take a busy business owner and give them truly the amount of content they need without using a bunch of things like AI and other parts that really pull away from who they are and just make it look like a template or the way everybody else has it on there? And I'm going to tell you the exact process. And whoever's listening, if you want to steal it, I don't care. Steal it. It's beautiful and easy and simple. So we record through Zoom. It's a 1 hour conversation. It's kind of an interview. At the same time, it is also a directional one, because I might say, I don't think that was an honest answer. I think you're trying to placate and tell people what you think they want to hear. You should say what the reality actually is. We do not actually record on Zoom itself, because the video quality is horrendous. And this is the part that I'm telling everybody to steal. We set up their phone to record directly onto their phone right next to them. So it's perfectly set up for vertical. The quality is great. And it's exactly what people expect on social media. So I'm just directing them through the Zoom call. Then we take that hour and we chop it up into 30 clips. And the idea being that from that hour, you now have content for every day of the month. But there's a catch. One could say, great, Stefan, now you've leached yourself onto the business owner and they have to have you indefinitely to create content. No. Content that is truly made well and has value to it can be reused. And realistically, you could probably reuse it 2 to 3 times a year. So if you have roughly about 180, 200 clips, you're set for the next 3 or 4 years of reposting the same content about 2 to 3 times a year, every single day, because you're now creating this sort of funnel where people are interacting with you and learning more about you. And furthermore, people that you might have met and they go, I'm not ready to work with you. You go, great. I'm putting out fantastic content, and it's your follow-up by you being on social media and them following you. So it's a nice little thing that you can set up as a constant base. Please create more content, but at least you know I am constantly having a post a day going out there that is not just a templated thing. It's really actually me.
Love it. What is your go-to tool for chopping up video and creating clips out of it?
It's a funny answer, but it's a true answer. I use Premiere Pro as the actual tool, as the program for it, because there's a lot of audio that it can really enhance your audio very quickly and make it sound like a podcast right off the bat, which audio is very important for those kinds of clips. If you have bad audio, it doesn't matter how pretty it is. People are going to scroll right by. But the other part is I've tried various AI tools like Video.ai and other things. They really take out some of the human elements. They really chop it up to where you don't look or sound like yourself. Or they'll take out an where it's really, it should have been there. It really conveys that humanity. Yeah. I've tried outsourcing it to other freelancers. Most people can't capture that apart, or they'll keep in sentences that I'm like, that didn't need to be there. They repeated themselves later in the clip. You could have shortened the clip by half just by taking out the middle section. And so it comes down to where that's part of the genius that I have to do the clipping myself, but I do use Premiere Pro as the predominant thing.
Okay. So I've used lately.ai, and it doesn't take, it just chops up the video in like different segments. And I've been kind of, you do need to spend time on it and go through and make sure okay it, and then move around with the timing and make sure it's the way you want it. So I think that does have that. Have you used lately? Does it?
I haven't used lately, but what I will say is kind of the caveat with it is, if I'm going to charge somebody money, I'm going to make sure that it's relatively good quality. If there's a business owner that's going, I'm not going to spend money on this. Yeah, go use AI, please. Like it's way better than doing nothing. So AI is definitely valid, but to your point, you do need to spend some time on it. Like rewatch the videos. Don't just post them without even double checking them and move it around a little bit. Absolutely.
So it's not 100% done and click 3 years of content. Like you still need to take a look at it. And AI is not 100%. I've seen it do dumb stuff like all day long. And so...
Yeah.
So you're not a big fan of AI tools for the stuff?
I love AI tools because I think that they make things a lot easier. I just think I'm not a big fan of when marketing agencies or somebody like that go, hey, we can make this so easily for you. And it's going to give you these outstanding videos that are just going to blow everybody's minds. I'm like, no, they won't. I mean, they'll make videos. It'll be better than like you trying to maybe do it yourself and all the time you'll spend on it. But be realistic. It's still AI. So I'm a fan of it, but just take it with a grain of salt that it is. And the amount sometimes that people charge for when they just use AI to do the task, I'm like, I don't know if that's fair for what you're getting. So it's not don't use AI. I think it's more of if you're hiring somebody else to do it, why not use AI yourself as opposed to hire somebody to use AI for you?
I guess that would be, it becomes a matter of time for some people. And, and like for me, like I've used lately, and I came across this thing yesterday called Opus Clip, and it does another AI tool. One, I don't like doing it. Two, it takes time. Three, I think some people are just totally clueless as to what portion of the video they should put out there. And so, like, even if they tried, they probably would fail miserably. And they'd be like, you know what, Stefan? I don't know how to do this. Why don't you? Here's the money. Please help me out with my social media. I'm not good at this. So, like, with these things, like, hey, sorry to cut you off. Like, lately, it hasn't been, like, it's not, like, a 100% done and click and it's done. It's, like, you have to spend time in there. And
To your exact point, I'm more speaking of the difference of yes, like you have the money, you know that it's a need, hire out the people that are actually going to do it.
They're good at it.
But in the end, the biggest thing about social media, while quality and value matter, it's consistency. And if throwing it up there and putting the stuff out there through AI is what's going to keep you consistent, at the very minimum, do that. But if you're not getting the results that you expected, and you're not hitting the right customers, your messaging's off, realize that AI is probably partially the reason of that because it's not creating the top quality content, but it's definitely an option.
Would you recommend people that are just starting out, they don't have a huge budget to hire someone out to just get started with these AI tools with like 20, 30, 50 bucks a month to at least get and have something out there? And then maybe when they make more money, hire it out? Or what's your take on that?
Honestly, my take, I think that most people, if you're just starting out and you haven't making a lot of video content at all, taking long clips, like podcast appearances and those kinds of things, they're usually not very good at speaking in sound bites. They don't know how to quickly do it. And one of the best habits to get into is speaking in sound bites. So I would say grab like TikTok or Instagram, record directly onto the app and learn to do 15-second videos. Because once you learn how to say something snappy, quickly, and then add a call to action to it at the very end, that is a skill that transfers to your podcast. And now you're getting a whole lot more clips from that. And it doesn't cost anything to use Instagram or TikTok except your time. So I would actually urge more to that side because the manner of speaking and how you think about content evolves from you using that.
Yeah. For people that are scared of making content, especially like how do you help, like I know some people are just scared, they would rather die than get on video and be on social media. What's your recommendation on how to overcome that fear and be okay with being on video? Because I think in America, like what you might call it, fear of public speaking is higher than death. And so What's your take on that? What's your recommendation on that?
Yeah, I think it's really funny, especially in today's Zoom world and virtual meeting world, when I'm talking one-on-one to a person in a virtual event or even just a one-on-one call, and they're going, yeah, I'm just afraid to be on camera. I'm like, you're on camera right now. So It's obviously not a fear of being on camera. It's, oh, I'm going to get recorded. People are going to take this out of context. I don't know. Everybody's going to see what I'm going to post. There's a lot more to it. It's not literally just being on camera, because we do it now. We're on camera so much of the time. So it's scrutiny. There's something more in that mindset side of things that is there. It's one of the reasons why I do the process that I do, where I just sit and talk to them, where they don't even recognize that the camera is even there, because they can just talk and it's normal for them. Because it takes a while to become comfortable. And unfortunately, it just takes a lot of repetitions to where you can just go, oh, I'm just going to film myself and do it all myself. That is the reality of it. But I've had many people that go, I can't quite afford you. And I'm like, great. Go find either somebody on your team, or if you're solo, find a spouse or family member. Just talk to them and have the camera pointed at you as you talk about whatever it is. It's the same thing. And then you can cut it up. Just making it more of that conversation, as opposed to thinking, I have to say it this way. One of the funniest things I see people that are starting out do is the thing where they go, hi, my name is Stefan, and I am with the Professional Unicorn. I'm like, they have your profile's right there. They can click if they're interested in who you are and want to learn more about you. Get to the value. Just start talking about it. Just whatever happens. Tell us a story. Get into all of that. And I think that's the other piece, is that social media is not for you to sell through. And this is one of probably the biggest things, is the mindset of going onto social media for people that are afraid. I call it the give mindset. The whole idea is that if you think about creating content with the intent to give value, it doesn't matter how many likes, views, comments you get, because if it's low, it means they missed out on the value. And so now you're still motivated to keep giving and keep creating. Versus if you have the mindset of, I'm going to get money, I'm going to get sales, I'm going to get more people signed up for my program, now you've failed because there's low views and low engagement on all of your posts. So having that shift keeps you kind of going. And if you are thinking, oh, I'm a person who really loves helping my clients, I want to improve the world, I want to improve people's lives, then by not being on video, you're keeping people away from it. You're holding the value away from these people. Why would you want to do that? That sometimes gets people in front of the camera.
To your point, if you ever look at the earlier versions of our podcast here, in the beginning, I used to do a big ass long introduction about who I am and what the show is. But now, if you notice today, probably for the past quite a few episodes, we start with, here's what you're going to learn in this episode. Here's my guest, and we dive right into it. Like you said, people know who I am, hopefully by now. They could click and learn more about me. So that was a good tip there. And I learned it the long way and the hard way, that people are not interested in my story and bio every episode. Good. So you make a claim by saying that authenticity is a bad goal for business and marketing. What do you mean by that, and what's happening there?
Yeah, I love talking about this. So I talk about the difference for authenticity and humanity, because every time people are, be yourself. And I do say that many times, is try to be your human self, because the biggest thing for small businesses, especially, what makes you different from other small businesses is you as the business owner. That's it. That's the biggest thing. So many people have very similar services. So it's probably going to be you. And that's why people choose you. They connect with you as a human being, and then they go, okay, I kind of need what you're doing. Great. Let's do business together. And then people say, oh, be yourself, be authentic. I like using Taylor Swift, because my wife loves Taylor Swift, for the example of why authenticity doesn't quite work as a goal. It works initially, because most people are so clammed up, a little authenticity definitely goes a long way. But imagine you got a coveted ticket to a Taylor Swift concert, which they're like crazy expensive now or something. I'm not even looking at them. You go, Taylor Swift comes out and goes, I've had a really hard day. My boyfriend said something mean to me. My throat kind of hurts. I just don't really feel like performing today. Thank you. Good night. Walks away. No concert. That was authentic. That's how she felt. You're not happy as the customer. You're pissed. You're like, what is this? Now,
you know, you'd be like, screw you and your feelings. Sing
exactly.
For me.
You're going to get out there and perform, T-Swizzle. So take this as a flip side. She comes out. She says, I've had a hard day today. My boyfriend said something mean to me. My throat kind of hurts. I'm going to push through this and try to give you the best concert I can today. It may not be the best concert Taylor Swift has ever done, but it's probably going to be one of the best you've been to, because all of a sudden you go, that was human. She also has hard days, just like I have hard days. You're now connecting with them. And so to that point, we want to connect with the humanity of the person, not just the authenticity, vulnerability of a person. Because if you keep on aiming for authenticity all the way as your final goal, eventually you're in business and networking meetings going, I actually just want to bundle up in a blanket and watch Netflix. I don't want to meet with you right now. And that is not right. Helpful for your business whatsoever.
So I've had definitely experiences where when I was authentic and I was being myself, it didn't work for me. And I'm like, people, and you're right. People are always like, just be yourself. I'm like, myself is not producing results right now. Okay. I am myself. And this is not getting me what I want. And then, I'm like, I was myself. And people are like, oh my God, Mustafa, what the hell were you thinking? They didn't like it. And then there was like times where I was myself and it really worked out really well. How do you balance that? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, that's a tough call.
It is a tough call. And here's an interesting part of that. So what you're actually describing is ideal clients versus not ideal clients. Because okay. If you could just be yourself all of the time and all of your clients were the people that went, I like that. The authenticity part worked out. Yep. That's great. You can show up to every client call and just be yourself. And people are like, Mustafa, you're fantastic. Like, man, that was hilarious. Whatever it might be, that's a great place to be. And when it didn't work out, was the people that you wanted as clients, but they didn't vibe with you and like the personal brand, if you would, of that kind of a thing. And if we're in the beginning or the transition phase where you're literally in that point of, hey, it's a business. We got to make money. We can't just pick and choose whoever and only pick the clients we love. We have to be reasonable with this. Then yeah, you can't always be authentically yourself to that complete degree. But the goal then is to get more and more of those clients that are like, yes, yes to that. Now to your question of how do you find the balance? Good question. It's one of those of, can you feel out the other person? Are they really willing to vibe on that? Are you willing to take the chance on it and transition more of your clientele towards the types of people that go, yes, I agree with the authenticity. We're really getting into the branding side of things, because branding is not a logo or just some colors. It's the feel and the experience that people get. There is one guy who he probably repulses by his calculations, 96% of people that interact with him, but the 4% that like him, love him. So it's, are you willing to repulse 96% of potential clients that meet with you? Then you might be able to meet with some of those fantastic people that work out.
Yeah. Do you have a rule on, so I guess there's the time where you have to be a professional. Like you have customers, you have deadline, you have a broken rib and you're like, I have to deliver and I'm not going to come up with excuses. But there's times where you have to be genuine and be like, look, I'm going through a problem here. I need time off. Do you have like a question or a process to determine how to be your true self and not worry about it and when to be professional?
I think one of the easiest ones is if somebody said it to you like this, how would you feel? And usually as business owners, we are so tough on ourselves. And realistically, if somebody got on and said, hey, I broke my ribs, I broke two of my ribs and I'm probably going to need stitches. Can we postpone like a week or two? You would go, yeah, are you okay? Like, yes. But to ourselves, we'd be like, oh, I could never ask that. Now the flip side is also true. If you're constantly pushing things off, if you're the type of person that the tiny little, I stubbed my toe, I need a month off. Okay. Come on. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I think it's that test of if somebody came to you with that And literally that same person, whoever you're about to talk to, if they came and said that to you, how would you respond? Is a good little litmus test around that. So,
love it. So can we say this? Correct me if I'm wrong. Can we say, be professional and be yourself? Like there's the degree of responsibility that we have towards people, but then you have a responsibility towards yourself as well. Like, don't forget yourself, but then we got to make the balance there. And it probably takes like some time and practice and experience to probably become good at making the decisions on when you have to be professional and ignore. One thing I learned recently from Wayne Dyer was, it was a file I listened to, and he said, sometimes you have to ignore your senses.
Mm.
And I really loved it. And what he was saying is like, let's say you're working towards your goal and your senses today are saying, my true self is feeling like I need to sleep today. And then he's like, screw that, dude. You got to stick to ignore your sense there and just keep going. So it's an art to be able to determine when to listen to that and when to ignore it, I guess.
100%. Yes. This is not, because I don't like the thing of where people are just like, just be yourself and everybody's going to love you. No, they won't. First of all, they will not. Not everybody's going to love you. Hard truth. Be yourself. Don't be yourself. Everyone's not going to love you. Get over that fast. Whoever's listening, you're not going to appease everybody. I was kind of laughing because that's how the professional unicorn title kind of came about, because I've been called a unicorn just for a variety of reasons, because I like magical things, and I just was always the one that stood out, and so people called me a unicorn. And I thought, if I call my company the unicorn, people are gonna be like, this guy, this, the unicorn's not professional, that doesn't work. So I went, how do I overcome unprofessionalism? The professional unicorn. You can't argue, by definition, everything I do is now kind of professional. But to your point, along that, I think a good question sometimes is, why do I think this is professional or unprofessional? And going from that and judging, is this true? Is that perception true? For example, do all business owners have to wear a three-piece suit and a tie? And if they show up in anything besides that, that is unprofessional. Mm-hmm. You and I are currently both challenging that belief. That has nothing to do with it, but
this is how I show up when I speak at events. Yeah.
So here's the question, right? Why? Because you and I both know speakers and motivational speakers that people have seen out there that show up in like a polo and jeans, right? Yeah. So it's not necessarily true for everyone. So then the question is, what is professional and what is unprofessional, and why do we think that it is this way? It might be something personal for us. It might be a limitation where we think we're not good enough, so we have to make up for it in some other way. And there are some people that's their brand, showing up in a three-piece suit, and that's what people expect from them. So there's a lot of give and take, but I think you need to be introspective in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, if you like it that way, if you prefer it that way, you want to wear a suit and tie, perfect. Do it. For me, I couldn't care less. I'm not going to... I don't think I gain respect with a suit and a tie. I don't think I'm going to be more respectable if I wore a suit and tie. I'm pretty sure I could gain respect and establish my expertise and professionalism just being myself, talk my truth, do my educational talk, and then if it gets the people that I want, great. If not, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
All right. So how do we stand out in our field? What's your formula for that?
I will use the formula that I give people for videos specifically, but it honestly applies to everything. The formula is rather simple. And the formula is, how do you generate basically an endless supply of content ideas without using ChatGPT? Slight caveat. That makes it sound like I don't like AI. ChatGPT is great, but people just misuse it and don't understand. Anyway. The formula is rather simple. The idea is that you take who you are, meaning take a bit of the human that you are. What do you love? What are your interests? What do you dislike? Whatever it might be. You add it to a piece of what you do. Because sometimes I say, take who you are, add what you do. And people go, take the entirety of who I am? Like, no, that's that's a lot of journaling that needs to be done to figure out the entirety of who you are. But if you take a piece of who you are, you add it to a piece of what you do, what you get out is really how you do it. I love using an example. Recently, we were doing a content challenge and I had somebody ask, well, I want to talk about SEO. And everybody talks about SEO. It seems boring. I have no idea how to stand out in talking about SEO. I was like, okay, great. What do you like? And he said, I used to own a pastry shop and it was like a Pakistani dessert shop, basically. And I said, great. From my understanding of Pakistani desserts, there are a lot of layers. And I'm like, so now a possible post or a possible idea is saying SEO is like that kind of a dessert where there are many layers. You can't just do it once. You have to consistently update it. But you can't just update it with dry stuff all the way through. You need to have those sweet honey keywords that are constantly popping up throughout the SEO. And all of a sudden, you have now this way that if you like Pakistani desserts, and then you get to learn about SEO at the same time. So we connected part of him as a human to what he does in business to make it sound like what nobody else has really necessarily said. When you do that repeatedly with a lot of different things, what happens is people get a sense of who you are and they start to understand better and better about how you do the specific things because you're talking about what you're doing. And all of that boils down to the final piece, which is why they pick you over anybody else that does, for example, SEO, because yes, a lot of people do SEO.
Fantastic. And then, so I love that. How do we stand out on social media? Tell us more about that.
So the process is relatively simple in that regard as well. However, it's that at scale. So fun fact, for example, about Facebook, one post on Facebook reaches about 10% of your current followers. So it's when people go, oh, okay, I shouldn't post every day. That's too much. If you post Monday through Friday, you have reached 50% of your followers with those five posts. By the way, the part when people go, hey, did you see my post that I made on Monday? Did you see it? No, I didn't see it. 90% of people didn't see your post, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of the few that's constantly following and the stuff is constantly popping up, kind of those super fans that are always watching out for your stuff, majority are not always going to see your stuff. So in terms of standing out on social media, one, it is going to be consistency and quantity. I used to say that posting 3 times a week was the bare minimum. From a human habit standpoint, I still say that's the bare minimum. From a business standpoint, you should be doing every single day because it's so much more accessible for you to make a post, be that using AI, be that just grabbing a quick video. I'm just so much more for video because it is really easy with the smartphones that we have to capture and do it right away. So there's that piece, but then there is also, of course, the formula that we just talked about of then you need to showcase how what you're saying is not you pointing at other people and going, see, they're saying that. So this is what I do. That's what I do. This is what you do. So it's making sure that you're showing it in a different light and why you are different. And that's the part about the standing out. And if you consistently do that over and over and over with the various facets of you as a unique person, then you stand out because then they go, nobody does it like Mustafa.
Love it. So you talked about a number. You said you could post the content 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah. Some people even repost after 3 months. These are all, nothing is set in stone. It's just kind of the reality. Most people are not going to pay attention. If you're worried about people saying, oh, you're reposting your old stuff, the fact that they noticed and remembered tells you a lot of great things. It means you made memorable content.
Yeah.
And most of the time, they're not going to say, wow, I can't believe you reposted the same stuff. They're going to go like, oh, yeah, I remember this one. This is a good point because they remembered it.
And most of them haven't taken action on that first post the first time. It's like, did you actually apply that to your business or were you just watching and acting like, you know, some cool new information? I think that's like a trend in us humans now. It's like we watch and learn all these new things and we're high on that information for like a few seconds. And then now we're like, what's the next thing that I need to know? And then 6 years or 10 years later, we're like, I know so much and I've read so many books, but my results are not matching the ocean of knowledge that I'm buried in. And that's my rant on too much information.
A valid rant.
Look, so if we do, I did the math. If we do 365 days a year divided by four, that's 91, let's say 92 pieces of content. So let's say if I spent the time and came up with 90 clips or text or images and whatnot for social media, do you have a tool that would help me repost this randomly three times or four times a year, or is it manual?
So I love this topic because this is an important topic. So far for video, there isn't a good tool. The only tool that I found that works well is called Metricool. I think it's like $38 a month. The problem is that social media platforms are very aware of these various tools. And obviously they want you to use their platform, their schedulers. So Meta wants you to use the Facebook and Instagram scheduler for them and not one that also goes to TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. As a result, the views suffer. I've tested it repeatedly, same hashtags posting the same time, the same exact clips. It's about, when I tested it, 10% of the original amount of views and all that. So it tanks quite a bit, seemingly from all that. What Metricool does is you schedule it out and it does a push notification to your phone at the time you're supposed to post. And then simply does a copy and paste exactly to your clipboard and everything. And so you go through the however many, four or five social media platforms you want to go through, and you just go copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste. It really just takes about 5 to 7 minutes. And that's exactly what I end up doing. I actually don't even do it through Metricool. I do it through TikTok, and I just save drafts in TikTok and do the same thing. Go from TikTok and go through all the others. It takes me about 5 minutes, and I post twice a day on five platforms.
Okay, good. So you do post twice a day?
Yes, except for, because I want to be honest, and I know people are going to go check, except for LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, I post once a day, but that's not, that's because LinkedIn posts have to be so different as compared to the others, where the text really matters that much more on a LinkedIn post, the captions and the descriptions that you put in. The others, majority of the people on videos do not read the captions on like Instagram and TikTok. They're really there for SEO purposes or if people need to grab a link or anything like that.
Love it. So, and then you have to, so on LinkedIn, you said you only do it once. Is there a problem posting twice or more on LinkedIn a day?
Nope. Just for me, just time.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. So on LinkedIn posts, you have to have more content, like more text.
Yeah, you have to have more text and it has to be a little. So I make it far easier for myself. The captions that I use for TikTok, Instagram, and Instagram, because they kind of have the same thing. Instagram now automatically goes to Facebook as well. Even if you don't have a Facebook account, it shows up in Facebook Reels also. So technically kind of it makes it easier on you. I already have the same exact little call to action bio description that I use for both of those. They're pretty much always the same. I maybe add one sentence that's a little bit different that pertains specifically to that video. Because other than that, the target audience is already dialed in with all that stuff. I don't need to do much more work. YouTube Shorts, you have about a sentence that you have to title it, and that's where you put your hashtags. You put two or three hashtags for YouTube Shorts right in there. So you can't use the 20 hashtags you could do or 30 on TikTok and Instagram. When it comes to LinkedIn, it really, you care about what is the, because people are more likely to read the actual description. So you can't be posting the same thing over and over and over and over again because people are actually reading it. And after a while, they'll start ignoring your posts. So you want to write something that actually relates to the video and maybe gives a little more insight than just what the video post is necessarily about. And then it's only 3 to 5 hashtags on LinkedIn. So that's, it's always this changing thing from platform to platform to platform.
Interesting. How do we come up with video ideas for content? Because I think that would be a question and a challenge.
Yeah. Life. Life is a great way to come up with video ideas, to be completely honest with you. And that's partially what we talked about with that formula for standing out, of taking the something about you, of you know who you are, and adding into what you do. A great example that I heard was from a mindset coach, and a post that he made. He was sitting at his computer because so many of us entrepreneurs were just sitting at our computer and we're going, nothing new is happening. He looked outside and they were taking out the trash. Just they were coming up to take out the trash bins. He took a picture of it and said, this is what you basically have to consistently do with emptying the trash of your mind and improving your mindset. It's not one of those things that you just improved it and it's done. It's you constantly have to empty the garbage and the trash that's within there. So he connected this idea of just seeing something out of his window to the work that he's doing as a mindset coach in that kind of a realm. So that's a pretty fun and unique and different sort of way to look at it and to get content. And that means that everything in your life can be content. I was joking with a bookkeeper because I know he loves coffee as an example. And I said, when you go to, you should make a chart that says the closer we get to tax season, the number of shots of espresso in my latte increases with less days coming up to tax season because of how much work I have to do. So going out to get a coffee all of a sudden is content for your business. And so all of these things inevitably become content. Behind the scenes things for people, if you think people aren't interested in how you might do a certain process or what things kind of look like for your business, that's all content because they do want to connect with you. If everything looks too polished, too perfect, all of a sudden they're going, I don't know if I like this. But I have to give the caveat here. That doesn't mean that we should get lazy and then everything is just like, hey, here's my morning cup of coffee for the fifth week in a row. I'm like, no, you can't keep doing that unless you add something unique every time with it.
You know what really bugs me? Where you share some lazy, irrelevant content and it goes viral compared to all the shit you put in like a ton of time in. And you're like, I was hoping to get a million views out of this. I spent 6 years on it and it did nothing.
Yeah. So that you are basically, that's true for everyone is what I'll say. And it's fantastically hilarious in that regard. My current, over the last 2 weeks, the video that's doing the absolute best is a video of me making coffee for my wife. And I'm talking about like a secret ingredient that I added in, which was it's salt, by the way. It's like a little bit of salt really helps like a latte improve. It's really nice. That's the one that's going, I'm like, seriously? But, yep. But not to not discourage people too much. That is just true. The thing that you're like, I shouldn't even post this. This is garbage. That stuff blows up. And the thing that you're like, this is my gift to humanity. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. But when stuff blows up, your other videos do get more views. You're right. It kind of lifts. It's like a rising tide. It lifts all boats a little bit. So you can take it as that. It's not as if you should only do terrible content. It's that you should have a mixture. And most of the time, that content is the human content. I had somebody telling me at an event today that she goes, like, whenever I talk about getting new glasses or the food that I made for my husband, like, that's the stuff that people really like. I'm like, yeah, because it's actually you, as opposed to some of the other stuff you post that feels like, oh, this is my professional thing that I have to post.
Yeah, let me help you with your business.
Yeah.
I have a rule. My rule is that if I think it's a bad idea and it's a dumb idea and nobody's going to care, I should post it. And if I think, like you said, this is my gift to humanity, probably nobody's going to care about it. And it's been working out pretty well for me. Like don't post, this is dumb, nobody cares, I should definitely post it. What's your rule? Do you have a rule on that?
What I really like about it is I think people immediately will flip the other way initially because they're going, what if people hate it? What if they're going to say like, oh, this is a dumb idea. This is so stupid. And I actually, the rule that I want to talk about is the haters rule. So first of all, I love haters. And I want to teach everybody to love haters because first of all, somebody's life sucks so much that they want to comment on something they dislike or like they think you're stupid and they leave a comment. It doesn't really make sense. But here's the beauty of it. They're actually promoting you because by leaving a comment and engaging, they're helping the algorithm push you out further. So the best response you can do is afterwards reply to their comment and say, thank you so much for promoting my content. Yeah. That's it. And then you keep going. You just keep on responding over and over the same stuff. And so it's always hilarious what haters do. And it's never truly about you whenever they say something like that. So double point to your point of, if it's a stupid idea, post it. So maybe you can get some haters and then comment on it and push your stuff out there and go get famous.
Yeah. I think the worst that could happen is like nothing. Like people won't respond. And the best is it may go viral. You never know. And I think that's the other piece, and correct me if I'm wrong, you never know what's going to work and what's not going to work.
Absolutely.
And that's why you, to your point, you should post at least like once a day or twice a day, and you just keep going. I heard, what's his name, Mr. Beast saying, post at least 100, 120 episodes before you ask any questions. Like consistently, every week, every day, just keep going.
Yep. Improve something with every episode. That's the other part that he says. Just improve a little bit and keep going, and you will learn so much. Absolutely.
So, and I love the thing you mentioned about people wanting to see what's happening in your life and maybe in your business and in the background. And that was, I think, to me, that makes it human, right? So it's not all polished and saying, oh, look at me, I'm so corporate-y and I wear a tie and a suit and we're just so shiny. It's like, here's a problem we're dealing with today. People love that kind of stuff. I love it.
Yeah. Because we enjoy it, and now we can know, oh, okay, this is real. So I kind of said the two main beliefs for the professional unicorn. I said the first one, that really it's the business owner that makes the difference and that makes you stand out when it comes to small businesses. The other piece, and this came about from a networking event, is the belief is everybody has the potential to be special, but not everybody is special. And the reason it came from a networking event is I was at a networking event, and at the end, somebody went, all of you are so amazing and wonderful and fantastic. And I just, ugh, everybody's so brilliant here. And I was sitting there, it was a virtual one, and I'm staring at two people in their little squares, and I'm going, those two are not. Like, let's be real. They don't listen to me. They always want to like shove their pitches down my throat and sell, and they never actually want to collaborate or do anything smart. They don't care. I believe they have the potential to, but they definitely are doing it right now. So it's that point when we realize that somebody's always saying, oh, it's perfect. It's the same thing at networking events when you go like, oh, what are the problems you're having in your business? Maybe I can somehow help. And they go, I don't have any problems. Why are you at a networking event if you have no problems in your business? Like, come on. Let's be honest. Let's be real. We're all here for something.
Oh, yeah. What stops people from being consistent on social media? I think that's a problem. Like people post like three and a half posts on Facebook and LinkedIn, and they're like, I was promised seven figures. When is that coming?
I love it. I love, because that's really two parts in one. And it's, yeah, it's the first part of how do they stay consistent. And the second that I adore when people tell me, oh, I don't want to post more than three times. I don't want to like bug people. And I'm afraid I might blow up. You would be so lucky to completely go viral from posting three times a week. If you do, hooray. Yes. But teach everybody your ways.
Yeah, that's a fear. It stops people from doing anything.
Yeah. Because that's not really the reality. And I think the other part is they put way too much work into it. A lot of people wanted to make it perfect, right? The perfectionism side really comes in, and imperfect action is going to be one of the best ways. And it's been the problem for the majority of my clients. We create so much content, but then they're sitting on 60 or 90 clips and they're not posting them. And you're going, I led you to water. I poured the water, drink the water, just do the thing. And sure, they could hire a VA to do it. We can talk about the goods and the bads of that. There's a specific way you should do it. But you need to build the habit. There is that piece. And I think this comes down to any habit building. Most of us are not good at building habits. We go like, oh yeah, I should drink water in the morning. That lasted for 2 weeks and now I'm not doing it anymore. Right. We haven't built it in. And we haven't made it part of our identity. And I think that's the biggest thing, for seeing it from Tony Robbins to plenty of Tim Ferriss, that a true habit becomes part of your identity. So as opposed to saying, I'm going to try to post consistently on social media, it's I post consistently on social media. I do it.
Yeah.
That I am a business owner that is present on social media. And I'll add the only other caveat here is that people go, oh, but I have to be everywhere all at once. It has to be perfect. No, pick one avenue. Mm-hmm. So I'm literally running a year-long group where it's building up those habits of just creating and posting and being consistent with it. And the first month, the whole thing is pick one platform, post 3 times a week on the one platform. I don't care if you post 3 videos 5 minutes before we meet. That is technically 3 times a week. Congratulations, you did it. But we're at least building that habit to some degree. And then you add on. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah. I guess you have to see what works for you. Like for me, I could not post every day, even if I tried. Like I know myself, I would give up after 3 days. But once a week, I've been doing it for like 3 years. I've been going live once a week. Even there's been periods when I paused even the show. Like I need a break. I need to rethink. Like I rebranded the show, and then I'm like, look, once a week is good enough for me. And if I wanted to go once a day, if it works for you, great. Maybe some people, what's your take on that? Like, do you have to, like, is this where a part where like Mustafa, stop BSing yourself, you need to go 3 times a day? Or
yeah, so it's a good question. So and really the question is, what is the goal, right? Because if you're going, I just want to be consistent, there is a beauty in being human to the point of where you can say, you can make a post and say, hey, I need to take mental health break. Like that's the reality. Mental health breaks are important. I'm not going to post for the next 2 weeks, right? But you kind of bring people along for that journey. And I've done that. When we went on our honeymoon, I did that. I said, hey, I'm not posting. I have scheduled to post in a week. I jokingly said this to them. I have scheduled a post. It's going to post in a week. I'm not breaking my promise to you. I'm still not posting for 2 weeks, but there will be an update that is automatically going to be posted and is going out. And those are the times that maybe, yeah, go ahead and schedule out content. Maybe the frequency is far less. Maybe it's different kinds of content. Maybe it's old content that you're just putting out to release at certain parts so that you're making it easier on yourself. But again, we have to be human about it. We can't be just these robotic machines that are constantly posting and posting and posting. It's not sustainable.
You're right. And sometimes I guess you have to, I don't know, unless you have a team and you're constantly thinking about it, you may need to rethink your approach. Is it working? Is it not working? And mental breaks are good. 100%. So I have taken time off for a mental health break just to be like, I don't feel like talking this week. Like for me, like during when it comes to New Year's, I'm off for like 2-3 weeks. Like,
yeah,
people are vacationing. I'm going to vacation too.
Something to consider in general with content creation is because most people go, oh, I gotta create content. If that is your general attitude towards your content, we know we can pick up on that. If it's a, so as much as we can, and you can't be perfect on it. It's not like I love making content all the time, but if you can have fun creating content, people will know. People will have fun watching your content. Really big kind of takeaway. The reason I say that is if you're going on vacation, maybe you don't post as many times, but you go, I'm going to show you a picture of the bagel I'm eating, right? This is not, because some people go like, I don't want to see
5,000 likes.
5,000 likes. Yeah, there you go. But it's not say, okay, that's it. My feed is now only the food I'm eating. No. It's all of a sudden, it's an interrupt. It's a pattern interrupt because we're always seeing this business side of you. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, they're also a human. And so it's giving depth to the person, the business, and the entire experience from the audience's perspective.
So it looks like we're going to go over time here a little bit. How are you doing for time?
I'm good. Let's go. Good.
All right. This conversation has been going really good. I feel like we're probably not going to finish on time, and I'm okay with that. So one of the other things that we promised here is how to make our competition irrelevant. And just saying goodbye to them. What is the process on that?
Yeah. So I say that frequently, this idea of eliminating competition. And it goes back to kind of what we've been talking about this entire time to a degree, is making content that is you and realizing that if nobody else can copy that content because you're not saying, oh, we look like that person or we are like that. Because it's very funny that people are always trying to say, oh, you know, we're like the Uber of hotels, or you know, whatever it might be. We're the Airbnb of restaurants, whatever it is, right? So you're basically saying your brand is like those people, as opposed to saying we are the brand, like we are these people. Now, and I sometimes it's easier when you're not a huge brand to get it across in terms of the messaging and those kinds of things. Sure. But the idea would then be, how do you make yourself so much yourself, so much of your personality into the entire business and making it more about who you are connected to what you do, that literally nobody else could do it that same way? And this also ties back in that whole idea, maybe not 96% of people that you're going to be like, no, these are not my customers. But yeah, you're going to have to say no to some customers. And that may be okay, because all of a sudden, the right customers that really connect, they're the ones that are going to be going to you. And in that way, you eliminate your competition, because your competition could never be you. But people can't know that if you're not showing you all of the time. If you're showing the same thing as your competition is showing all the time, and everybody looks exactly the same, and they're using the same templates and all the same prompts in ChatGPT, yeah, people don't know. Then you have a lot of competition. And that's where I tell people, steal my process, because the way that I get people to get out of their shell, to have that conversation, to tell me stories where they go, I haven't told that story in 5 or 10 years. I don't have competition. The story that I love telling there is, I got really insecure. I got a message from somebody, and I was reading it, and I was like, oh my goodness, this guy does exactly what I do. Oh no, I suck. I'm inferior. There's no way. I go to his website and I'm like, oh, this is such a beautiful website. I looked at his promo video. I'm like, he's got a team. Okay. What do I do? This guy's way better. I'm going to message him. Okay. So I messaged him and I said, hey, I would love to have a one-on-one. If you wouldn't mind, I'd love to pick your brain. We talked on the one-on-one. And I said, hey, could I please do a complimentary session with you? Like, I will make the videos for you. You tell me how much I suck and what I need to improve. I would just love to hear it. We do the session. And afterwards he comes back and goes, can I hire you as like the person that interviews my clients so we can chop it up and do all of that? Because you don't do it like any of the other people that I've seen doing it. Now, he does the clips way better in terms of the editing and those things. But in the sense of doing the thing that I know how I do best, there was no competition.
Interesting. So how would you put that in your short form? How would you put it in one sentence? How do we eliminate competition again? For like, long story short, what's the summary?
Be so undeniable.
I'm sorry for interruption. The reason I'm asking is like, this is a really important piece for business. People are all trying to compete and copy each other, and they don't stand out, and their business dies, and they wonder why, you know?
And if you're just tuning in at this point, go listen to our discussion about being yourself, because I'm going to say be yourself as part of this.
Yeah.
Be yourself to such an undeniable extent that anybody who tries to be you is second grade and copying you. That is the final piece of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where I heard this, which is something along the line similar to what you said, like, make your business so unique to you that they can't even think about copying it. They can't even figure out. It's so you. And love it. All right. So you're giving us access to your 101 creative content ideas. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I one of the complaints or limitations that I hear all the time is when people go, I just don't know. I just don't know what to post. I have no idea. I just can't come up with ideas. I'm like, all right, great. I'm going to write a book. So I wrote this book, and it's 101 creative content ideas for business owners and entrepreneurs. And the whole premise is there's a variety of different, some of them is just services and products. They go as basic as that. And then it delves into some specific industries as well. They're a little more general industries, but if you're thinking, I need something that a little bit kind of ties things in. And it's not, because I hate when they go, tell us about your product. That's stupid. Of course I'm going to tell you about my product. What's the point? It gives you ideas, something along the lines of, tell us how you personally use your product. Like, how do you? And then if you go, I don't use my product. Why not? Like, isn't that a problem in that whole thing? And some of the other behind the scenes, or take us on a day in the life of one of your clients, as opposed to just a day in the life of you as the employer. These allow us to see more of the behind the scenes and connect with what you do and go, wow, I want to have that experience. So it's those kinds of ideas. And because it's the professional unicorn, the book is filled with unicorn magic-y things. So it's not a boring black and white PDF. That makes it way more fun.
Fantastic. So to get access to that, to come up with content ideas for your social media, for your business, because, I mean, we run out of ideas. I mean, we are like, all right, I know three things to talk about, and then I'm out, right? So go there, visit Stefan Zavalin. That's StefanZavalin.com. At the link in the comments, it is in the descriptions of the show. And yeah, go and grab it. So, Stefan, can I ask some personal questions?
Let's do it.
Awesome. What's something new you have tried recently?
Ooh. So I haven't done a lot of kayaking, and we recently this weekend went kayaking in the rain. I both recommend it and don't recommend it at the same time, because if you're good with mindset, it is fantastic. If you want to kayak lazily down a river, it's not the same thing. And this was also the first time that we did a kayaking where instead of doing a drop off and pick up, this is the way they normally do it. We kayaked upstream and then let it carry us down. So a very fun mental exercise as well, where you're like, I'm basically doing a treadmill on water. This is fun? Is this what we do for fun now? This is how we relax? Okay. So yeah, that's been a recent one that's been fun.
I guess that builds kind of some mental toughness. I actually literally saw a book that had the title of something along the lines of Swim Upstream to Success. And it kind of feels like that, running a business some days, if not every day.
So not to derail it completely, like I know we're going to go into the other questions. Something my wife frequently says to me, she goes, it feels like you're fighting too much. You know, you should just let it go. Go with the flow. Let it. You don't need to always fight to go upstream. And there's a whole like side of business mentality and mindset in business around that you don't have to fight to go upstream. And my question to that always is, but what if your goal and destination is upstream? What do you do then? If you let go, you're further away from where you want to go.
You just swim like a salmon and you just go upstream. You jump over rocks if that's where you're going. Depends on where you, like you said, it depends on where your goal is. If it's upstream, yeah. Then that's either change your goal or swim, baby. Swim. All right, give me two of your favorite books.
Okay. Just on the side of, because I love this book, so much, is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That is a constant. My favorite quote from it is the yellow ship hung in the air very much like a brick doesn't. I just think it's like such a funny turn of a sentence at the very end that Douglas Adams does. And it's just filled with those kinds of things that make you go, hold on, what? That was a creative way of to say this or to view, the world like that. And then if we're looking more from a business and money-making standpoint, You Are a Badass at Making Money. That is a great one, especially to read as a family or with a significant other, because there's little kind of next steps and little workbook things at the end of each chapter.
Fantastic. What's one advice that made a big impact on life or business for you?
Besides all the ones that we've already covered today.
Like a big shake for you. So I'm like, when I learned this, it was like.
Yeah, I think it's the combination. I learned it from going blind and doing the TEDx talk. And then somebody said this and I was like, oh, that is exactly what happened. And it's this idea that when you have a setback, obstacle, disability, in my case, like literal disability, the mindset is usually that from 1,000 options, you just went down to 500 options of things you could do and what's accessible to you. And the reality is you probably went from 1,000 to 960 or maybe 990 even. There's still plenty available and your setbacks are just chances for creativity in other ways to do things.
Fantastic. Love it. Stefan, if you had a Google or a Facebook ad that everyone around the web, around the globe, could see the message, what would your message be for people of Earth?
If there is something in your industry, or maybe even slightly outside of your industry, that deep down consistently tells you, like, your core is repeatedly pulling back to, you should do it this way, you should do it this way, you should do it this way. Even if it goes completely against what everybody else is talking about, teaching, saying, if it is repeatedly speaking to you to do it in that specific way or do that specific thing, go do that thing and do it that way.
Love it. Love it. I resonate with that massively. I focused on coaching and consulting for like 4 or 5 years. And for the entire time, I couldn't stop this knack saying to myself, if you're so good at it, why are you trying to coach people? Why don't you just do it? And eventually I give up. Like, I'm just going to go back, switch back to the agency model. I'm not going to focus on coaching, and did exactly your advice. Like, this is what my gut is telling me, and I have to listen. And it's a lot easier when you listen to that core message. Yeah. Seven, this has been a great conversation. I think we could easily go on for a good couple of more hours. But we have to get going, as we have family and life and business, and we have to, you know, attend other things as well. Is there anything that you'd like to mention that we didn't get a chance to cover?
We mentioned Imperfect Action, and the only thing that I'd like to just encourage everybody to do, go make a video. Hopefully we both inspired you. Just go make a video. Go make a stupid video, because it's going to go viral, and then tag the podcast. Tag the podcast and say that that's where you got the inspiration. Go do it right now. Take 15 seconds, make a video, post it wherever. Go do it.
Fantastic. Yep. Love it. Love it. Love it. Where can people reach out to you and learn more about you?
StephanZavalin.com. I'm also Stephan Zavalin on all the social media platforms. You'll see me there with plenty of purple all around me, because that's the favorite color.
Fantastic. Stephan, thank you very much. This has been a great conversation. You shared a lot of amazing insights and knowledge. Gang, do reach out to Stephan. Go to StephanZavalin.com. Get his 101 creative content ideas, the checklist and the tool there. And if you have any questions for me or Stephan, comment on whichever channel you're watching. We'll do our best to get back to you as soon as possible. And we'll go from there. Please make sure to like and subscribe to the show, and or share this amazing conversation with a business owner, an entrepreneur who could benefit from some video and social media advice and some authenticity advice. And we'll go from there. Thank you for joining us. Have yourself a great day, a great week, and we'll see you in our next episode. Bye now.